Father, again, we thank you for this book, and we pray you have opened it tonight. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us learn, then give that wisdom, apply that knowledge correctly. In these last days, we know you've got to always have a remnant, Lord. You've got a remnant in this nation. You've got a remnant in this world. There are those who literally give their life today for the cause of Christ. And we thank you for that. And yet, when it comes to the population explosion that we see in our day, we have a great territory to try to win people, but most of those people will not even pay any attention to what Christ is doing. And religion is kind of trapping many people. They go and have great crusades, and thousands of people seem to, they say, get saved, and then only you know the heart. But Lord, when you take, people are getting saved, and you take surveys, and they don't understand the scripture, you wonder what they believe if they don't understand what they believe. So I pray you give us tonight, each Wednesday night, be a time to really grow in grace and knowledge, and Lord, help us to grow that we'd understand more about you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, last week we got down to verse 15, and before we go back to bring us up to date a little bit, we were talking about in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible teaches there's coming a time we're going to be like him because we shall see him as he is. I love that, don't you? You're going to see him as he is, not like he was, but as he is. In other words, when we're trusting by faith now, we're going to see him as he really is as we try to look at him through the scriptures. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And meanwhile, the glory that we saw transforming in these verses where we were looking last week and a couple weeks ago of Moses' face, they had put a veil over his face. That glory was a reflection of God's glory on Moses' face. And we said that Paul is setting forth that we have a glory. It's not a reflection. It's a glowing from inside out. That glory shone outside and had put over, but ours come in. It comes with a life that we live in this life. And that's why glory shines out, doesn't shine like the one reflected off of Moses' face, because you see it in people's lives. The more their life lives for the Lord, the greater the light will be seen. And that's why we, unlike him, we don't reflect the light. In fact, Jesus Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and people see our lives. It's actually manifesting the light, letting our light shine, which is not our light, as Scripture tells us, let our light shine. But Jesus is the light, and if he is our Savior and he lives in us, is his light, but an amazing thing, it's showing through us. We're kind of like the lantern. He's the light in the lantern, and the world's seeing the lantern, but they're also seeing the light. And that's what God wants the world to see. He wants to see, they see us physically, but they also want to see the light too. So I said that sin has crippled our souls and marred our spirits and has scarred our thoughts and wills and our and emotions. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior have tasted of redemption. And therefore, God wants us to move beyond that to grow in grace and knowledge so we can give a good example as we give our word and give out the word of the Lord Jesus Christ about salvation. And he wants us to set our hearts in heaven because that's where we're going. Set our attention there. Set our affection there in that time as we go through this life. And if we do that, we set our hearts in heaven, mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's what he tells us. Put that down. And the more they'll put down, the more they'll see the reflection of Jesus Christ in us rather than just being on the outside. We have experienced that transforming power of Christ. Not only have we got it when we got saved, but there's a daily life that where you go from one glory to glory to glory as we learn in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so we yearn to reach that place where the sea of perfection is in us now, because that's the word of God. It's in us now, but it's manifesting through us, and new creation in us is being made like in the image of God so it can be seen in the flesh. And one day we're going to be delivered from this body and be completely where we're complete. We're complete in Christ now, Colossians tells us that. But we're going to eliminate the body, and then what we see will be absolute complete. The glorified body and the new nature, the new heart, the new identity of being that glorified body to live forever. And that's really what heaven is about. Now go back with me to Galatians chapter 2. We saw where Peter and Paul had a discussion. They had been also down in Jerusalem in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. They had a summit kind of down there, or you might just say a time of discussion. They had some dissension in that discussion. And we're going to pick it up here as we look in verse 15. Now, notice what Paul says here in this verse, and remember, go back and get last week and connect the first part of this to that, and you'll see where this comes to, and I can't go back for that. Notice in verse 15, though, he said, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. That makes sense. Now, he said we, he's talking about Jews, because he was a Jew, and also he included Peter into this, because Peter was one. And so here, he said, we, notice, are Jews by nature. That is, we are Jews by birth. through from Abraham through Isaac, Jacob, so forth, and now the nation of Israel has existed for 1,500+ years. And so he said, we're Jews by nature, by birth. And he's laying out a principle here, because you had 1,500 years that these Jews were born into the family of Abraham, and therefore God set up the system. And the Leviticus system, I just named that, includes all the things that God said to, was a great thing for Israel to stay where they ought to be, where the world could see God in them. If they obeyed him in that, then they see God. If they did, they wouldn't see God, and God had to bring a habit to them, and he did that in that day. But that law and that system could never make a person ready for heaven. Cannot. And so he set up a system to bring Christ into the world out of that system, so God's son could be born physically through descendants of that would come out of Abraham's genealogies. But what he said, we who are Jews by nature are and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, this way, listen, a Gentile had to recognize they were sinners to get saved. No Gentile would get saved unless you know you're a sinner. I mean, what do you need to get saved for if you're not a sinner? Amen? So he said, now, wait a minute. God has come now and said, but Jews also are sinners. Now, we're Jews by nature. We're Jews by birth. But he says, and not sinners of the Gentile. Listen, we know that you don't look at yourself as sinners of the Gentile, but wait a minute. You're going to have to understand this new method, this new thing called the church. You can't get into that unless you're born again. And you can't go to heaven unless you're born again, whether you be Jew or Gentile. Now watch, next verse he says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Here they thought keeping the law and the subjects, all God said do, then if they merit a certain thing, they'd be right with God. They didn't, they wouldn't be right with God. And then they could give a sacrifice and be right with God, because God gave the innocent taking the place of the guilty. But he said in fourth, that knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. In other words, Peter and Paul both knew now that they're not justified by the works of the law, notice, but by faith of Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. Now, what does it mean? Knowing that a man is not justified, he's not declared right in God's sight by the law. And then he says, but by faith of Jesus Christ. So we're not justified by the law, but we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Why? It's not the faith itself, but it's faith in what Jesus did for us. Because if it's faith, it just said justified by faith. But he said we're justified by faith, and where it's in, that faith is in Jesus Christ. So he's going to lay a principle here to understand that you get saved by God's grace. And therefore, these Jews, some of them did believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior, but they began to mix up law and grace. And that's what Paul is trying to straighten out here. He said that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. What is the works of the law? It's anything you and I can do, then sense that God, now we know what God's law is, but the works of the law is anything that we could do to merit our salvation. Know that? Grace says you can't merit it. You have no way to pay for it. It must be paid for. Sin must be paid for. The law condemns, the letter killeth, and the law cannot justify us. Over and over, Paul in his epistles talks about this. And that's the reason he said, now the sinners are saved because they know they're sinners. But we come along, we have to realize we're sinners. You can't follow the fact that you're born of Abraham, and just because you're a Jew that you're ready to meet God in heaven. That's what he's laying out here. And you look, you go to Corinth and Acts and other places and put together, and we knew that in just a minute. I want you to watch with me though, just a moment. Look down, he said, but if why we seek to be justified by Christ. Now again, the we is a Jew. And that's what he said now. By the way, New Testament came, it's Jew and Gentile. When God opened up the New Testament, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He started with the Jews because he promised to do that. But he also went to the Gentiles, and you see in the book of Acts in the transition period, Jew and Gentile saved just alike. Notice he said, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Oh, you mean that? If you're going to seek to be justified by Christ, Jew or Gentile, you're a sinner. If you seek to be justified by Christ, you're a sinner. Jew or Gentile. We know the Gentiles are sinners, so they seek to be justified by Christ. They have no alternative. But a Jew began to feel like, oh, well, we believe maybe he is because of what he's doing. We have to recognize, like Nicodemus, he's a great man. He can do great wonders. He must be sent of God. He could do the miracles he did. And they began to follow him. But they could not get the Old Testament out of their system. And so they began to mix law and grace. Oh, yeah, you got to trust Christ, but you got to be circumcised. Oh, yeah, you got to trust Christ, but you got to keep the law. And that's what Paul's dealing with here. And he let them know, hey, no, you're either under the law, which cannot help you, or you're by grace and are sinned and been saved and justified by Christ. If not, then if you go back trying to keep the law, you nullify what Christ did. And that's what he's telling us. Go on. And he said, but if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? You mean to tell me that Christ, who's come and had died and came through the system of Abraham for the Messiah to come, you mean to tell me now that if he makes a descendant of Jew a sinner, is Christ the minister of sin? That's what they're saying. It's a trick away to try to decide. So you want to tell us that we got to trust Christ as Savior, and we can't do that unless we recognize we're sinners? That's exactly right. Would that be the case, then Christ is the minister of sin. That's what Paul is bringing out. Notice what he said. Tell me what he said after that. God forbid. You know what he said? He said, listen, away with that thought. Don't bring that into this, because you can't bring law and grace. If you do, you mess up grace. And he's trying to lay that out. Watch. He goes further. And I'm showing you, when you see what new birth is, you get it. It's going to make you serve God. It's going to make you live for him. And I'm telling you another thing. It's going to let you know that he loved you enough. If he really saved you, he saved you and headed you toward heaven. That's all there is to it. Watch. He goes and said again. He said, look at verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Oh, my. He said, he's a Jew. If I say I trust Christ as my Savior, and then I go back and start saying I've got to do something, the law, to add to that, to keep saying, he said, I've automatically sinned against God. Because I'm saying Christ is not enough. I've got to trust Christ and do something. I've got to trust Christ and keep the law. I've got to trust Christ and be circumcised. Now, how can I know that? Look back with me, if you will. Let me stop there just a minute. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 through 5. Or 4 or 5, somewhere on there. Paul's writing again. Still writing to the church at Galatians, he had said this in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, when you see that, what is that yoke of bondage he's talking about? Go back with me, if you will, and let's look in Acts chapter 15 just a minute. And let's go back to that meeting they had there down in Jerusalem. When this came up, go back and we'll just open up a good study of what went on down there and why it went on. In Acts chapter 15, notice, if you will, in verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, here are those come down and say, wait a minute, wait, let's think about Jesus Christ. Now, they're going to have a meeting on this and discuss this and come out what has got to be done between Jew and the Gentile. And when you read, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it's one thing to read and see what they decided that those Gentiles who were saved would do at the end of this thing. But watch it. Look over in verse 5 and you'll see it more. He said, but there arose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed. What they believed? They said they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They believed that maybe Jesus Christ. In other words, it looked like they were really going to had received Christ as their Savior. They believed. Maybe they believed but hadn't received. I love the word when Jesus said to his men, as receive him, to them gave he power become sons of God. You know, folks, I'm running across a lot of folks when you knock on doors, they believe in Christ, they say. But what about him? Well, you get talking about it and you realize that he's really not Savior, but he came and he died and he was here. Had a lot of things he believed about Christ and still not have eternal life. Now watch what he says in verse 5. But those that raised a certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, said that it was needful to circumcise them and could command them to keep the law of Moses. They're saying, oh yeah, that's right. You go ahead and trust him. Christ, we believe that. We believe that Christ, who he said he was, the record of. We say, hey, by the way, Nicodemus was sold on him. He said he can't do these things except be sent by God in John chapter 3. But he said, these Sadducees who really want true believers, because Jesus said, if you're a true believer, he'll set you free indeed. And they're saying, you can believe in Christ, but you got to be circumcised, and you're going to have to keep the law. Now, that's what they're teaching. Now, watch when you go through this. And it said, and when there had been much dispute in verse 7, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice of us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, he's talking about Acts 10 when he went to Cornelius' house and that great movement there in Cornelius' home. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, saying, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. He said, I'm telling you, God sent me to the Gentile in Cornelius' house, and I went down and preached to them, and they got saved, and God gave them the Holy Spirit just like he did us. You can't deny that, he said. Now he's talking to this council down there in Jerusalem. And he goes on and said, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, not by the law. Did you catch that? Did you catch it? He said, I want to tell you, God didn't purify them by the law. He purified them by faith. Faith in who? By faith itself. We know the whole context here is about Jesus Christ. So you can't eliminate that. Now, therefore, I'm talking about that yoke in chapter, he's talking about in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, that you, again, you try to entangle us with the yoke of bondage. What was that yoke? He tells us right here. He says, and God knoweth, and he said, put no difference. But therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke about the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we ourselves were able to bear? Why would you put that yoke of the law back on our neck when they weren't able to keep it? They couldn't bear it, and we can't bear it now. That's the reason Jesus came. Aren't you glad you know him? Hallelujah, folks. He brought us out from, if you're saved, he brought you out from under sin to serve God. And that's a birth. It's not a turnover a new leaf. It's not joining a church. It's not just being religious. It's saying, Lord, I want something in my heart that changes me. It may take a lifetime to do it, but I want to see the changes. And that's what God does. He comes in. And we're seeing today people mocking God because they're claiming things. There's no evidence. The fruit is not in there. And that's the reason that God said, you tell the tree by its fruit. When you do that, we don't have the right to judge nobody. But I tell you right, God gives us a right as a child of God to judge fruit, so that fruit is not on us if it's not fruit that God sanctions. Understand what I'm saying? If it's not something that God sanctioned, then it should not be in us. And therefore, it's not condemnation. We don't judge nobody. You and I don't have the right to judge nobody. God, only God can see that motive and everything behind it. We don't have everything together. But I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, will help us bear fruit. And we ought to be watching fruit, but there's some fruit we must not produce because it will not be the light shining that God wants to see in this world. I don't care who we are. We must not, that fruit must be that which bears entangled with what a child of God is. And then watch, he says, why tempt you God to put a yoke about the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers or we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. The Jews shall be saved even as the Gentiles. How? Through, watch that, just as plain as could be, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Verse 9, he put no difference between us and them, Jew and Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith. By faith in who? Jesus Christ. All right, go back with me again now. Now, I see this yoke he's talking about, and he said, don't put that yoke on us anymore. He's putting something on us that shouldn't be there. And in verse 2, he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Wait a minute. Here they're saying, oh, yeah, you trust Christ. Yeah, go ahead, you believe in him, but you got to be circumcised. And Paul said, wait a minute. Now listen, this is a man who was a Jew, Hebrew of the Hebrew, that God saved on the road to Damascus. By rights, he really thought, from a Jewish standpoint, he was doing God's will, killing Christians on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And now he comes back and say, wait a minute. When you do this, he said, behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, you go ahead and say that, but I want to tell you, if you say you're saved and you've been justified by faith in Christ, you've been washed in that precious blood, he said, and then you come back and you say you have to be circumcised, he said, Christ hadn't profited you one thing. You know what it is? He said, you don't have nothing. It didn't profit you a bit. Does your Bible say that? No wonder they're trying to change the Word of God in our day. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad I came when I did. I'm glad. I'm afraid. I'm just saying, look what he said in verse, again, look in verse 3. For I testify again to every man, not just the Jew, to every man that is circumcised, whether it be Jew or Gentile, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Wait a minute. This is one little thing of the law. He said, though, but if you add that in, you're either saved by grace, plus or minus nothing, unmerited, or you're saved by what you do. If you say you're saved in Jesus Christ, you paid the sin debt, and then suddenly you say you have to be circumcised to recognize that, then what you're doing, you're sinning against God by going back under the law which God gave Christ to redeem you out from under the curse of the law. And that's what he said for here. He says that, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. If you get saved in Christ, he said to the Jew, and put yourself back under the law, wait a minute. Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. If you put yourself back under the law, he said, then you become a debtor to the law, not to what Christ has done. Because if you're saying that's needed to get saved, or that's needed to stay saved, you're nullifying Jesus Christ who saved you. Don't you know the new birth is more than what we've seen today? Watch more. I love it when you get through. Christ has become no effect. Notice. Now, he said that he is debtor to the law. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't read this. That's the reason I'm glad that we can open the scriptures up in a way and go through it. Watch what verse 4 says. Paul is talking to the church at Galatia. He said, Christ has become a no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, what does that mean? He said, if a person says, I believe, and they say they believe in the grace of God, and yet they have to go back on the law, they're saying, I've got to be also justified by the law. When you do that, grace has none effect. If you say you're under grace, you can't be under grace, because grace cannot bring law in except to kill, to destroy. And by grace, you're saved. And therefore, if you could have kept the law to start with, to have a relationship with God, Christ wouldn't need to come. And now that you're saved, if you could keep the law, then you're debtor to the whole thing again. And what we're doing is putting ourselves back under something that God said he redeemed us out of. And it's so important to grasp these wonders. He said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now go back to Galatians 2. I thought I was going to get to Romans to get that. Go back to Galatians 2. Notice what he says now. Paul said, if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. He said, in Jesus Christ, God saved my soul on the road to Damascus by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not yourself, it's a gift of God. He said, now if I put myself back under the law, he said, I become a transgressor of the law because I know I can't keep the law to start with. And it nullifies. How do I know that? Look further. Look in verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. What's this? Then he clarifies. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Helps me. What I've just gave you helps me understand this verse. But Christ liveth in me. Now, if Christ liveth in me, he's better than the law. Wait a minute, preacher. Is the law not holy? You better believe it has not changed. It is holy. It'll always be holy. In heaven, it'll be holy. Chapter 7, 6 and 7 shows the law is holy, but it can't save you. In it, Christ saves us, and somehow or another, law can affect that in any way. Then Christ didn't really save us, because if we could keep the law to start with, Christ wouldn't have had to come. And then he goes on, he said, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's interesting. It's setting forth the fact that the Jews seek to be justified by faith in Christ. Jesus took our place as a sinner for the Jew and Gentile. And therefore, when we trust Christ, he justified us. And it puts ourselves, if we put ourselves under the law to get saved, along with grace, or put ourselves under the law to stay saved along with grace, then what happens is we go back and we seek justification, a righteousness of the law along with grace. And when you do that, you make Jewish belief just another religion. Just another religion. Because it counts us out. Our attitude towards what grace is. Now, how do I know that? Look in verse 21, and this will be it. I can't go no further. I'm going to get back to chapter 8. Know what he said. Paul said, after he said all this, man, you get this in your mind, boy. And then he closed up. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Watch this, folks. He just sums it up. He said, listen, I want you to know I don't frustrate the grace of God. That is, when it comes to frustration, it means to have no effect or to bring it to nothing. I am not going to use the grace of God and turn around and have it no effect. I'm not going to use the grace of God, he says, and make it have no and have it come to nothing. Because if grace is grace, it does what it does. If grace is grace, then you come back and bring the law, it nullifies grace. How do I know that? Look at the next word. For if righteousness came by the law, stop right there a minute. If righteousness came by the law. Now, how do you get the righteousness of God? That's what he's talking about here. The righteousness of God. We know the law is holy. But the law will kill you if it's broken. And if you break in one place, you'll give it the whole thing. That's what the Bible says. So what we find here, he says, that if righteousness come by the law. Now, when I look at that, righteousness. That is, God, I can't get to heaven without God's righteousness. So it's what happened. Christ died for me, and the day that I received him as my Savior, trust him, received him, he imputed my sin to him and imputed his righteousness to me. That's righteousness for salvation. That's the only way you'd ever be born again. We're in this life born into the family of God. We're a spirit being now, been wakened, and we're walking in flesh till God gets the flesh out and puts the new creation in a body. A glorified body. But watch. He said, if the righteous come by the law. Now, if my righteous inheritance for God came by the law, then Christ is eliminated. If I trust Christ as my Savior, and now my righteousness comes because I'm trying to keep the law, I've still got a problem. And what's that last phrase? Here's a trigger mechanism that should hang on it. What's the last phrase? He said, for if righteousness came by the law, whether you get it in birth to enter heaven, or what you do after you're saved, then Christ is dead in vain. Wow. I challenge you to look at that verse. Christ died in vain for you. If I come back and say, Lord, I'm saved by God's grace, but you know, God, I really understand there's some things I've got to do to stay saved. Then he said, Christ died in vain for me. That means I have no effect. Son, you got to realize, this birth is not joining the church. This birth is not turning over a new leaf. You can't get saved by yourself, and you can't live it by yourself. Listen to what I said. Listen, let me tell you. As if God has said something, listen to me carefully now. You can't save yourself. For by grace are you saved through faith, not in yourself. It is a gift of God. You look through the scriptures in transition period, Matthew, the four gospel in transition period, and you see how God sent his son to pay the sin debt. You believe that. So you can't save yourself. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. That starts a new birth in you. It brings a new life to you. When you trust me as your Savior, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And I give you my precious book that you have to read to learn to hide the Word of God in your heart to know what God wants. It's not going to come automatically. You're going to have to study it, son. You're going to have to look at it. But if you do that, I'll show you what it means to be born again. Born from above. Born not of flesh, but spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And then I'll let you know that when you get Christ in you, you have the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to let you know you couldn't save yourself and you can't live on your own merit what I want you to live to stay saved. But you can live like I tell you to and help you to live. And if you do that in obedience, I'm going to make your life different. So you'll shine for me. Now, the world who don't see the light, don't want to see the light of cusses and run us off and say everything world about us. But you can get along with God and say, Lord, I thank you so much. I'll be honest with you. if I didn't believe what I said right now, I'd quit. And I'll tell you the reason why. You go soul winning much. I remember a time that I went out here to Trailer Park years ago. Went up, knocked on the door. When I did, the guy opened the door and knocked me down. He said, get away from me. I don't know what you want. I don't want you around here. I said, you get away from me. I said, sir, I don't care where you're from. Hit the road right there. I want you to hit the road. I turned around and I said, well, I'm going to leave a track. He closed the door and I tried to put the track in. He knocked me down again. He said, don't leave me fifth of trash around here for me. They have to pick up. He said, I want you to hit the road right now. I want to tell you something, folks. I could have lost my salvation right then. Because I didn't have good thoughts about him. Praise God. Don't come at me. This stuff what I'm hearing nowadays that God is fickle and he's just trying us and he wants to get on the board. And if we don't stay on the plank, that's it. I could have lost my salvation right then. And by the way, if you'll be honest in the mirror of God's word, there's been some places you could have lost yours. But I want to tell you something, folks. The time I turned around and started back to the road where my car was at, my heart was pricked. And I just stood out there and I did this to help me. I don't care. Now, everybody heard him looking at it. I just got on my knees right at the end of the road where he's at, just drive on my knees and just began to pray for him. I didn't even know his name. God knows my heart. And I prayed just God somehow to get him to see that I was there, not to hurt him, not to make him upset and so forth. And when I finished my prayer, I got up and I looked and he was standing in the window when the window's pulled over looking at me. He won't never forget that. I don't care who he is. If he goes to hell, he won't never forget that. Why? You say, why? Because you're such a... No, because God will honor his people if you serve him, ladies. I don't care who you are. He'll honor you. And I'm telling you, Satan knows the way to push our button. And he can push it. He'll wait around to the last minute and push our buttons at times to make us say or do something we wouldn't say otherwise. And by the way, there is no excuse for it if it happens, saved or unsaved. Amen? Aren't you glad God is showing us? If we could have kept the law to do anything, Christ wouldn't have had to come. Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing, folks? Listen to me just as we close tonight. And then we're going to go back now, and you understand the reason we're saying in the latter part of Romans chapter 8. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if we could have kept the law so Christ wouldn't have had to come? Wouldn't it? By the way, let me tell you something. If we could have, if Israel could have, he'd have never came. I'm not talking about in part. I mean whole, totality. Because Paul said to the church at Corinth, if you offend it one place, you're guilty of the whole thing. Some people say, well, I've got these over the wall. I don't do that. But there's more to it than just that. Now, go back with me. I've got 5 minutes. I didn't know I had 5 minutes. Turn back with me. Look in Romans with me. Now, let's get back to this and see. What I've done, I've taken scriptures. We're looking at 3 chapters and looked at the last chapter, 8, the one we looked at. This whole book, I need to study it. I know if I did, I don't know if I'd get out of it now. I taught it one time before and I went through it pretty fast, but I found out now you can't do it and get what you need to get. We looked at chapter 6, looked a little bit at chapter 7, where Paul said, now I understand why Paul said, about all rich a man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Hey, he didn't say, he was a Jew. He didn't say, I thank God through the law. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Now watch. After I go back now and I see what God has said, he's done. Aren't you glad? I see it even clearer now. It don't make me a super Christian. It just makes me a little child of God that comes to the Father and thank him for letting me understand what salvation is. That's a lot, folks. I don't need to know the unravel all the riddles in the world religiously. I just want to be sure and know, and in my heart, convinced I know who Jesus Christ really is. Not in word only, but in who he is. And when I do, I'm seeing now. We already go back and see what he did. We know this in verse 29. He helps me understand for whom he did foreknow. He said he predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, that he might be the firstborn among brothers. So I understand now that God said the reason began it. He preordained that. To predestinate us into the image of his Son. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that all the pros and cons that comes, God's desire is by his Spirit living here, say, Son, every day with your pitfalls and problems you have, every day as you yield to me, I want to make you more the image of my Son. By the way, you are my son, you are my daughter in Christ. Now, I want to make you more growing in grace and knowledge now until I can put you into that glorified body where that perfect seed brought new life to you in your soul. Incorruptible seed brought new life into your soul. And now you have a privilege at the end of your life to live will be forever. He goes on, he says, moreover, he did predestinate, he called. Look at it again. I go back. Remember that? When I hope you do, because I'm not going to hit it just a little bit. He called. Look, past tense. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. That said, before he ever made man, he'd already looked at this glorification. And you remember I said, start at the rear. If I'm glorified, been justified, notice in past tense. If I'm glorified, that is the incorruptible seed that's in me. Now the life of God's going to be put in a glorified body. It's because I'm justified, he declared me right. I can't declare myself right. Man, when I come to the throne of God, I have to come as a humble person and realize I'm there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He justified me, and then he justified, he called, and then he called. Now watch. Then verse 31, I'll read this and we'll close and read the rest later. I love to read. Watch. What shall we then say to these things? Folks, let me ask something. I have given you for weeks and weeks reference of Scripture that has led to where we're at in the family of God. And it's like Paul's, he's writing here. He said, now listen, what shall we say to these things? What will we say to these things? What will we say to these things? And Paul says this, if God be for us, and man, isn't he? I said, brother, he is, brother, praise God. If anybody is, he is. If we're saved, if God be for us, who can be against us? That fellow that day broke my heart and it scared me, really. But even now, I look at him. I wish I could see him now. I have no animosity against him whatsoever because he is just a tool. He thinks we're harassing him religiously. But Satan, God wouldn't like that to harass us back and try to make us think that we're causing havoc of some kind. And he says here, as he's fixing to close this out, in beautiful words all the way through, covers everything you can think of, just about, what shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, he asks the question, who can be against us? Now, that fellow was against me that day. By the way, you've had certain things like that too. You remember that day we was out here witnessing back one Saturday day, and a fellow stood at the yard, some people started up in his yard, and he can come out the yard at the front there and said, don't come on our property. Some of you were that Saturday morning. He said, don't come on my property. See these trees? I don't want you on my property. Get off my property. And I started back up. When he said, I don't want you. He saw me come. He said, I don't want you either. Well, fine. I don't want to be on this property. Amen? Yes. I got other places to go. But I tell you, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know what? That little bit of hurt that he did that day and the embarrassment he brought me is nothing compared to what is going to happen in eternity when he gets there if he don't get saved. And think what God's going to do. Think what God's going to do. You know what? Please hear me. God help me. Please help me. If I'm not willing to do that for him because somebody embarrasses me and tries his best to put me down, how in the world would I ever die for it? I ask you, how would you ever die for it? If I can't take some slack and try my best and God help me control it, nobody likes to do that. I'm telling you what's true. The flesh will rise up in a minute. I don't care who you are. But if I can't take a little flack like that, and I'll tell you, sometimes I can't hardly. And I say, Lord, if I can't take that, how would I die for it? Father, thank you for this book, Lord. I thank you for preserving it. I thank you for the Spirit of God that inspired it. And I thank you for the down payment of the Holy Spirit of God who you give to us when we got saved. And grant you, Lord, you know, any of us can be like Peter. Peter was saying, after years, Peter loves you, Lord. When the Holy Spirit came, he proved that. And Father, probably, and I'm just speculating here as I pray, probably if Peter had the Holy Spirit living in him, he never cursed and swore that he knew you. But he didn't have. And the flesh is very powerful without the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, even now, we'll let the flesh dominate, even though we have the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then help us to realize things have to be applied. And I'm so grateful. Satan blindsides us. Lord, he's like a wounded animal. He's always waiting. He can wait and wait and wait and catch us at the least point. And then calls us to even react rather than act. But help us see that if God's for us, who can be against us? Lord, there are things that take place in our heart and life that you remind us of every phase of our life. And I go back and I look at the law and how holy it is, and yet it can only condemn. If you could keep it 100%, Christ would never have to come. But Lord, you gave 4,000 years and 1,500 years with the law itself given to the nation of Israel, and they couldn't even keep it. And when Jesus came, there Israel was born by natural birth. We were born by natural birth. But Jesus came to die for sinners. And in the age of grace, Jew and Gentile are sinners and need Christ as Savior. Lord, it's hard to understand why some people in your day reacted, and yet we know they did. So in our day, man's heart's just as wicked. We must realize that Satan reacts in our day. Just help us stay abreast, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.